All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. All right. Andy Polin live in person. How about that? I've come all the way out to Andy's house. People often ask me, Andy, why don't you see Andy more often? And the answer is, you live an hour and 20 minutes away.
Is it that far?
Yeah. Ooh. Or I live an hour and 20 minutes away. That's the question. Who lives an hour and 20 away? You or me? Probably me, right?
Well, I mean, I sometimes will fly out of Dulles Airport. My son lives in Seattle, and Alaska Air flies from all three airports. So going to Dulles. The problem with your house is you go past Dulles, and you keep going.
Keep fucking going.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like if I was going to Seattle, I might as well just drive rather than go all the way to your house.
Yeah, you're kind of halfway there once you get out to my house. Yeah. I just love being here because, number one, I got to drive the Beltway with no traffic.
Yeah.
Anytime you can drive the hell road that is 495 with no traffic on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, I'm like, okay, this is fun. If only it was this way 24/7, this whole metropolis would be livable.
Right. Yeah. No, there was a time when I would drive in New York, in Manhattan. If you drive in Manhattan like early on a Sunday morning, you realize how small it is.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Manhattan.
Yeah, sure. You get across town in 10 minutes.
Physically small, but packed with people.
Well, during the day. Yes. Yeah. But right. if everybody's off the streets and you're driving it, you go, oh, I just went from the east side to the west side in 10 minutes. How did that happen?
Yeah. So it's good to be here. It's good to be on the same old roads that I used to travel all the time, like 495, the Beltway. I got to admit, Andy, I'm getting a little wistful for the good old days that are not coming back, especially in terms of radio. You know, I think of the station we had, the amount of people we had working for the station, and also the fact that because the internet and podcasts had not taken over then, the importance of, hey, you're on the radio. It was where the whole market gathered who liked sports to our station because we were the only sports station for a long, long time.
Not only that, we were the only source really for sports because there was no such thing as a podcast.
Right.
And there's only one sports radio station, right?
Until JFK flipped, which was what, 2010, I want to say?
Okay, so we
something had... something like that. But we had a run of, well, you started at the...
92.
92.
Yeah. And so
92. So 18 years until another sports station came to town.
Right. And that was, and it took them a while. You know, it was helpful. They were on FM. They have the Junkies, who had been already established in the market, and not just on their station, but WHFS. And
by the way, the Junkies celebrating 30 years.
I know. It's amazing. That's this year for them.
And they got a proclamation from the mayor, Muriel Bowser, that May 4th is not just May the 4th day where you get to dress up like Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big May the 4th guy, Andy. You get that, like May the 4th.
Oh, I know the
May
Star the Wars 4th, connection. Yeah. I saw the original Star Wars in the Uptown Theater. Do you know that?
Where, in Georgetown?
No, it's Connecticut Avenue.
Oh, Uptown. I think I went to that theater.
Huge theater. Yeah, it's closed now. But it was an enormous screen. It was packed.
I think I went to that to see Star Wars as well.
It's 1977. How old were you?
I was 9.
Did you go 9?
Oh, I know I saw the original Star Wars in the theater, and I kind of believe I went to the Uptown. I'll ask my mom.
Okay.
My mom would know that one. But the landscape's different. By the way, good for the Junkies. So they get a proclamation from the mayor. I asked him, I said, does that come with free parking in Chinatown? And they said, no, it's just a proclamation.
Yeah.
It's not a key to the city. It's just a proclamation, but still pretty good.
It's an unbelievable story. Each of them was looking at other fields. A couple of them went to law school, I think.
Yep.
And they just started this for fun as like a cable access show.
Cable access was the podcasts of the day.
Right.
In the late 90s. Uh-huh. If you wanted to do a show, there was no way. We didn't have the equipment like this. I brought two microphones to Andy's place tonight, and I hope the quality is up to your standards.
Well,
it's fine quality.
Very impressive setup you have. You're always ahead in technology. I've done shows with you from a special van that you bought. I mean, I'm very impressed.
So anyway, 30 years in this business, good for those guys. And they dodged a lot of bullets along the way because old radio heads like Don Geronimo tried to kill him. Not physically kill him, but tried to kill their careers.
Right. I would say this, too.
Don Geronimo power played to try to get them out.
Greed and jealousy never took over because they're four salaries. If four salaries become two, each makes more money, right?
In theory.
Okay, but that, I'm sure, was pressured along the way, and the solidarity that's kept them together for 4 years is impressive.
Well, it is impressive, although at some point, I'm sure the bean counters are like, do we really need four for one shift?
No, but they negotiate together.
I know. Well, they're a pack. That's the thing.
They're
the Beatles of sports radio in D.C. You can't have the whole set without all four.
Right.
So it would be incomplete without, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
True, but when you're listening to the radio and they don't identify themselves, frankly, three of them
sound... The accents are hard to discern.
Jason Bishop, his voice is distinguishable.
Yes.
The other three sound very similar. Well, I know all four of them, and I like all four of them.
Yes.
But if you had Jason Bishop and one other, it might take some casual listeners a long time to find out.
Yeah. Well, I would say that I've been happy that my interaction with those guys, and I'll see them this week because I'm filling in for B. Mitch, 10 to 2. They've been really good to me, and I appreciate that because there could have been some cattiness, some sort of standoffishness, sort of, you know, like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
No.
They could have given me shit about, oh, look who came crawling back after his jaunt to Wisconsin. That didn't work
out well. They're not that way. No.
I know they're not.
They're professional.
Cakes invited me to his poker tournament, and I actually had some fun doing it. And so whenever I see him, he's like, so have you seen any flops lately? Meaning, you know, played any more Texas Hold'em? I'm like, nah, that's your deal. But he loves that. So anyway, I'm here at Andy's, just like old times, once upon a time. Oh, I forget what year this was, but I know that Samantha, your daughter, was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here watching a Sunday night football game.
Actually, it's the other house. It's the Rockville house.
But I was at Andy's house, different house. The whole mishpuka, as the saying goes, the whole family.
Right.
And Samantha was in high school, junior, senior maybe, and you had laid down the law, or maybe it was Arlene, your wife, had laid down the law to say you're not going to this concert.
Yeah.
And she was pissed. Like, she was not having it. And so she kept doing flybys to try to strafe the target of, well, Mom, if I get back by 11, I don't know what the problem is. No. And then it was like, well, if, you know, if my friend Kimberly's driving, what's the problem? No. And it started getting more and more intense to the point where it starts now to become screaming. And I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I'm just trying to watch the game with Andy. My face is like, oh. And you, Andy, had the most serene calm over you as if, welcome to another day that ends in Y with a strong-willed teenage daughter.
Well, it's they each had a script, and they were each following the script. And Samantha knew what it was going to lead to with your flybys, as you describe it.
And Arlene, her sorties over the target. Yeah,
and she knew where she was going to wind up when the flybys got to be too much.
So not only was it a routine argument, but it was one that had a familiar pattern to it.
Right.
So none of it fazed you.
And I don't remember exactly what the outcome was, but I would bet the mortgage that Samantha went to the concert.
When it was all said and done.
Yeah.
Well, look, she's a very successful family attorney nowadays.
Well, she knew how to build her case.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in those days, yeah. And she turned out great, and I'm so happy for you and for her. She's delivered you two beautiful grandkids. Your son has delivered you a grandkid. Yep. So it's,
Charlie. I didn't give you the name yet, did I? Maybe
no?
I did. I guess I think I did. Charlie. Charlie was born a week ago, as a matter of fact. So, he's doing great.
All right, good. I hope that, you know, his wife wasn't sleeping with a coach named Charlie.
Okay.
Okay, here we go on that. Yeah. So we got to catch up on the Rossini story because there's been more to it.
Yeah,
and since you and I last talked, Mike Vrabel threw himself onto the pyre of, family counseling. Yeah. And then it's like, counseling, and I'm going to miss the third day of the draft.
Well, it went from anybody who would suggest this was more than a casual meeting, it's laughable.
Laughable.
Yeah. To, he hasn't admitted to anything, but,
right.
But by saying that there had been mistakes made, it's pretty clear there's an admission of guilt on top of the fact that she resigned and deleted her Twitter account.
Right. But she never had that much of an admission. Her resignation was laced with a defiant, I will not stand for this inquisition.
Right.
I have covered the league and been respected for 18 years. Sort of a, how dare you? And then Vrabel's like, sorry, I got to go counseling for this.
That
undercuts her stance significantly.
It does. I would say this, though. You know, it's not like she only reported on Mike Vrabel. If she was the Patriots reporter, like Mike Reese is for ESPN, Mike Reese would be seen holding hands with Mike Vrabel.
Right.
But if she was just that, then it would be. But she has done a great job of covering the league. I don't think she'll be able to go back to that capacity. I think
her days as a reporter are over, but there's plenty of other. I think that whole role's overrated anyway. Mm-hmm. She's going to be a personality. She's going to go through the usual car wash of, here's what happened. I'm better now, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's gonna end up on Oprah's couch.
Well,
100%.
The other thing that has to sort itself out is the husband staying?
First of all, is the husband going to ask for a paternity test? And second of all,
there's have that you one, seen the first, that's, you know, the name of the first son?
Michael. I know.
That's a little scary.
No, look, people are now finding what could be Easter eggs or could be just coincidences in, her past reporting, her days at ESPN, et cetera, et cetera. There is an AI video someone made of her and Vrabel on Maury. And Maury does the reveal.
Oh, yeah.
Have you not seen that?
Well, you can make AI out of anything.
But it's really good looking.
Yeah, it's great. They do a great job. Yeah.
I think from a media standpoint, so there's like three stories to this. One, there's the personal story, which I don't care to necessarily rake anyone over the coals. It's their own life and their own business. Mm-hmm. Then there is the reporter story, like what's ethical and what's not. And then there's a larger story about the rest of the media and who's covering this, how they're covering it, and who's not covering it.
Right.
Here's 18 bizarre or suspicious media behaviors in the Rossini-Vrabel scandal from Tony Farmer on Twitter. One, ESPN, which is 10% NFL owned, virtually ignored the story for 2 weeks. Two, crickets at NFL Network. They didn't touch it. Three, CBS ignored it for 11 days. Four, Dan Le Batard says the story makes him, quote, uncomfortable. Five, Scott Zolak insinuates he would lose his job if he covers the story. He's the Patriots color guy.
He was also a former quarterback and does a...
At Maryland, right?
Yep. Well, and the Patriots, a backup to Brady, and he's been doing sports radio there for a long time.
I think he's pretty good, too. Yeah. Number six, two WEEI radio hosts in Boston do lose their job after covering it. I did not see that.
I don't know. Was that a direct result of what they said? I couldn't figure that out.
I don't know. Seven, USA Today fires Chrissy Freud after she was critical of Rossini. That was stupid of USA Today. Like... You're policing her personal opinions on her personal account. Why? Why would you be caping up for Rossini? So dumb.
She was not a full-time employee. I know.
She was a contractor, but still. Yeah. Like, where does USA Today get off going, we're going to defend the honor of Diana Rossini?
Well, Nancy Armour, who is a columnist there, did.
She ripped Rossini.
Yeah, she said.
So I guess Chrissy Freud can't?
Chrissy Freud was more, I think.
Cheap-shotting?
Yeah.
Drive-buying?
The Armour take on it was, okay, now you've made it really hard for all women reporters. Like, every time a reporter is with a man, there's going to be an eyebrow raised.
Speaking of that, this literally just dawned on me. Where is Aunt B on this?
Yeah, I was surprised about that, too.
Christine Brennan, a.k.a. call her Aunt B, normally a champion of all things women's rights and women's sports, has been oddly silent, hasn't she?
I haven't seen anything from her. I haven't talked to her. I'd consider her to be a friend.
Yes, you're close to her. No tweets, no column.
Yeah,
interesting. And by the way, let me say this about Christine real quick. I'd hate to jump in, but I got to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do respect that she covered the Redskins as a legit reporter for the Washington Post in locker rooms, at press conferences, legit covered Big J journalism and did it very, very well.
Oh, and she faced...
Very, very well.
She faced sexual harassment herself.
I don't doubt.
And she actually, when she was given the job, this was 1984, fresh off covering University of Miami's first national championship with Bernie Kosar as the quarterback, George Solomon hired her to cover the Redskins. And Joe Gibbs wrote a letter to the NFL and said, I'm uncomfortable having a woman go in my locker room.
Oh, wow.
And Roselle wrote back and said, we have an NFL policy of credentialing men and women to cover teams. And Christine said Joe Gibbs never gave her any problem whatsoever.
Okay, so once the league told Gibbs, too bad, Gibby, he got along with the program.
But she said if she would show up at a group around Dave Butts, he would stop talking.
Interesting.
Anytime. He didn't believe in having women cover the team.
Number eight, TMZ originally turned the story down because it didn't want to, quote, police the bedroom, but now they're covering it. Sidebar, the photos came from a couple that was at the resort. The husband knew who Vrabel was and Rossini, and it was not, according to the latest, a professional private eye.
It would have to be because in order to get access to that area, you'd have to have a room for $2,100 a night.
And I don't think a private eye would necessarily... I mean, that's a big budget if you're going to send him on an assignment. Like, I think my wife is here sleeping with an NFL head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. The other thing is, is everybody on their phone not only can take pictures, but they sit in a file. And so you think to yourself, oh, look at this. Yeah, let me think what I had back. Oh, there they are in a bar. 2020. Oh,
well, those photos came out the night before the draft and it furthered the story. Number nine, The Athletic originally stands firmly behind Rossini, then investigates her.
Yeah, that was a stupid move on their part. They should have said, no, we're going to investigate, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The New York Times, Big J journalism, should always default to, we're going to need to know more.
Yeah.
Instead, they're like, oh, really? Girls hiking trip? Okay, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? It's just weird to me. Number 10, ESPN doesn't tweet its own eventual story on the scandal, instead having an account with 8,000 followers tweet it very late on a Friday night. Number 11 on weird things involving this story, media-wise. Adam Schefter, 3-plus hours late after midnight, tweeting the news about Vrabel missing the NFL draft on Saturday. 12, Kid Gloves, failure by several outlets to cover the 2015 Rossini incident. That's the one here with Jessica McLuhan, the wife of Scott McLuhan, who claimed things that were quickly deleted on Twitter. Tampering angle or coach of the year voting conflict of interest. Nobody wants to touch that. Number 13, First Take. We don't want to talk about it on this show. Is that what they said on First Take?
I don't know. But here's the ESPN part of this. She worked for them for quite a while.
When she may well have been having an affair with Vrabel.
Right. So they don't want to implicate themselves, I'm sure. And who's First Take hosted by? Mike Greenberg.
Oh, God.
So if there's a hint of scandal, he's going the other way.
AP still no comment on Rossini's status as awards voter, even after getting called out
Excuse
by
me.
PFT.
Check that. He does get up, so that's incorrect. That's okay. A Stephen A. show. So
The Associated Press has not commented. They're the ones that run the Coach of the Year voting.
Right.
She voted.
Oh, she did, yeah. She also won an award I saw recently,
sure.
too. Yeah.
Number 15, media figures attacking influencers who shine the light on the story. Number 16, AP writes a story about Rossini resigning, doesn't mention she's one of their AP awards voters. 17, ESPN's $50 million plus Twitter account only tweeted the word Vrabel once since April 1st, despite the controversy with his running back over a Bible tweet. Two press conferences and four photo dumps by TMZ and others. One word, Vrabel. That's crazy.
Also, I read where it was shopped to TMZ for a
four grand.
Four grand?
I mean, I saw it was like $4,000.
Don't they pay much more for spot? I mean, maybe they.
Well, the TMZ turned it down, saying, "Well, it's not big enough. We don't want to police the bedroom or something like that." And then number 18, the same sports media outlets who were obsessed with the Coldplay couple, even though it's not a sports story, are ignoring the Rossini-Vrabel scandal completely, even though it has now impacted the NFL draft.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, on the draft, and let me give Greenberg credit for this because I am critical of him of being too soft.
Yes, you are.
He did a very good interview with Roger Goodell. He does a good Dell interview every year prior to the draft and asked the Rossini question.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yep. He had personal conduct. And he said, doesn't fall under personal conduct.
Oh, right.
And then he said, that's all we're going to say about that. And Greenberg asked a follow-up question, which was,
wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was good.
So there you go.
And also in the rest.
Good for Greeny to find his balls. Way to go, Greenberg.
He also pressed him a little bit. Apparently they're going to go with replacement officials. So he's ready to do that, you know, and he pressed him on that as well. So, you know.
So some people are making the comparison to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer got fired not quite because of the young woman at the bar that he snuggled up to and rubbed up against.
Got fired for losing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think if Vrabel was coming off two seasons of 500 or less,
oh, yeah,
he'd be gone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Sure. And the team has to deal with this on a regular basis. And here's another thing that the NFL, and maybe Goodell will feel the heat on this, the NFL courts women more than any other league.
Because it's 50% of their audience.
Right, and so we'll see how that plays. Now, I don't think it's going to hurt ratings. Nothing hurts ratings. You can do anything to to the product and people are going to watch it. But
right.
I just wonder how, in terms of image, how they feel about that.
You're on a GLP-1, but now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. Get access to trusted experts, food plans that work with your body, and habit coaching to keep you on track. Plus access to GLP-1 medication. Get started at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the
betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
All right, so the draft is over. How'd you feel the Commanders did? They take Sonny Styles, linebacker, Ohio State. No second-round pick. Antonio Williams, wideout from Clemson. He's a slot guy. They kind of need an outside guy along with Terry McLaurin. No fourth-round pick. And then a edge in the fifth round, Joshua Josephs out of Tennessee. And then they really reached in round six and seven, guys who probably aren't going to
Well, they got a running back from Penn State.
Catron Allen, who's people think he's just a zilch, basically. Okay. Well, one-cut runner, is not very dynamic.
Yeah, so they'll have that. But I Sonny Styles, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen here. But what really surprises me, he's 6'5", and he started out as a safety.
He's super tall.
Yeah, that's very tall. I think you cut.
What happened there?
You cut yourself off for a second. Okay.
You're not on. I can't hear you.
Okay, and I can hear myself, but your mic's not on. Talk now.
How about now?
No.
You can't hear me now?
No.
I can see the levels working. That was
something,
so
something
weird.
Cut your mic out. I don't know what you hit.
Oh,
something.
It was this thing here. Okay, now let's see if that helps.
There you go. Now you're back.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll leave.
I'm glad I'm wearing these headphones. We wouldn't have noticed that.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, yeah, he's tall.
Yeah.
He's a converted safety. His dad played in the league. His brother's going to play in the league as well. Sick basketball highlight tape of him in high
jumps.
School.
He's got NBA hops, 43 and a half. Now, I don't know how much jumping you have to do, but knocking down passes at 6'5".
Oh, yeah. Shows general athleticism.
Yeah, 4.4 speed. You know, so there's a lot of things. I love how he got his nickname. Do you know how he got his nickname?
Because his real name's not Sonny.
Yeah, it's Alexander. Do you know how he got the name? His father, whom I'm not a bigger fan of. He won a Super Bowl with Kurt Warner playing on the Rams.
His name was?
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo Styles.
Right. And so when Alexander was a kid, he's got a younger brother, or I don't think they're twins, but
no.
But he would get so competitive in games and slam the games around when he lost, and he said, "You've got such a temper there. You're like Sonny Corleone." And so that's how he got the name. Now, some of us consider The Godfather to be maybe the greatest movie ever made, so I'm a big fan of that. And Sonny said, "Yeah, I just recently watched it myself, and I hope he does." Probably it's good that he didn't wind up with the Giants, because there's a lot of toll booths in Jersey. you don't want Sonny going through the toll booth. But I love that. I love the fact, and also it addresses competitiveness to me. Right? I mean, who's more competitive than Michael Jordan? If you played him in Monopoly, he'd keep playing you all night until he won.
Yeah. No, I think it's a really good pick.
Yeah.
I think it's a really solid pick. I think some of these moves, like the Cardinals taking Jeremiah Love, is really dumb from a strategic standpoint, not only because running backs are not the thing anymore in the NFL in a passing league, but they're going to have to pay him a guaranteed $53 million.
Yeah.
And that's more guaranteed money for a running back than pretty much any other team has to pay. Because when you're buying a running back, it's usually on the used marketplace, and they're close to 30, and they're a lot cheaper. So this is the most expensive running back already in the league, and he's an unproven rookie. Now, he looks sweet as hell. Don't get me wrong about that. But strategically speaking, they say you shouldn't be drafting running backs that high.
Also, who's handing the ball? Jacoby Brissett?
Currently, yes. Or Gardner Minshew.
Okay, so he does.
What a combination at quarterback.
So it seems to be a big difference if you've got especially when you're running the option all the time, and the defenses have to be wary. Is the quarterback going to pull it out and keep it himself? If he can run like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, or he can run like Jaden Daniels, makes him more of a threat. Jacoby Brissett.
Again, on paper, Andy, it makes a lot of sense. But on paper is not in real life. We'll see how it works out. Look, the Giants didn't win shit with Saquon Barkley, but Barkley was having 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
So you have to have a complete team. You got to have a quarterback, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Daniel Jones, most of the time he was with Barkley, wasn't any good.
I know.
And
he was good enough to get paid.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then the Ty Simpson pick.
Oh.
That's the one that's got everybody.
Okay, so when I saw, like, when everyone saw it, they're like, holy shit, that's 20 spots higher than he was supposed to go easily. Yeah. And, well, not 20, but let's call it 15. Probably he was supposed to be a late first, right? Mm-hmm. And it's clear from the get-go that Sean McVay is pissed. Now, my first reaction on Twitter was, I would normally rip this pick, given that they've got Stafford, who's the reigning MVP, and they're in a win now mode. And they had a chance to go to the Super Bowl last year and came up just short. But it's NFL Rain Man McVay. I'm not going to go against NFL Rain Man. I assume that he wanted Simpson, that he saw something in him. In fact, the opposite was the case, that it looked like McVay swallowed a bag of lemons when they made the pick.
But then said a day later he was in lockstep with Les Snead on the pick.
Which you and I know is bullshit.
Yeah, it looked like it. But here,
he was fucking pissed.
You could tell. And then he said that he was going to compete for the third job with Stedman.
Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett, the last time we heard from him, he was getting arrested for being drunk.
I know. Well, here's the thing. They hope that Jimmy Garoppolo does not retire.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo is 34. And he's been backing up in L.A. for the last 2-3 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would you want to retire? Keep holding that fucking clipboard, for God's sakes.
That made no sense, no. But the here's the other theory. This is another interesting part of it. Two things. One, Les Snead's not going anywhere. They think McVay's going to make one more run with Stafford to try to win a Super Bowl and then go to TV. So Les Snead is looking at, 5 years down the road, and McVay will be making big bucks on TV. The other,
that's a huge swing that this is going to work out for us in 5 years.
But here's the other part of this. Apparently Simpson had an offer of $6.5 million to go to Miami this year.
I bet it was more than that.
Okay.
He could have gone somewhere for $6-8 million.
So the father's a coach. The father called a certain general manager to find out, how that would stack up versus where he might go. The general manager was Les Snead.
Because he has a relationship with Les Snead.
Exactly. So this is Les Snead saying, if the kid doesn't go to Miami, we'll take him.
I mean, they had Reuben Bain Jr. on the board when they took this kid.
I know.
Who is not going to play. They're going to take zeros on Ty Simpson for at least 2 years, if not three, if not forever.
Yeah, the short arms thing. I mean,
on Reuben Bain Jr.
Yeah.
How about the fact he killed a woman in a car crash and it was just kind of swept under the rug?
That's not good. But in 2 years, it'll either be, they had short arms, or these idiots, they looked at his arms in short. They didn't see what was on the tape. He's killing people.
He was destroying people, Reuben Bain Jr.
See, I because of the Indiana run this year, I watched a lot more college football than I normally would. And I was seeing him against in the
championship game. He was unblockable.
Yeah, and other games too. Because I was not only interested in Indiana, but who they're going to play as they go along. So I'm seeing, this guy. And it's at the U. It's not like a Toledo.
There's still, even though I think NFL teams are generally more sophisticated in how they draft, there are a lot of unsophisticated moves that are wrought with conflict of interest, like what you just described with, Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
But McVay could not hide how pissed he was. Faces, Andy, never lie.
Yeah.
Faces always reveal the truth, and he was just like, what?
Did you see also the San Francisco reaction when they said that what the Rams had done?
No.
Yeah, who's the GM of the
John Ford, Lynch?
John Lynch, yeah. John Lynch, like...
He laughed?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He should watch it because he is getting ripped for their draft.
I know.
They have made They had the worst score, the Niners, in terms of where they drafted guys versus the consensus of where they would be picked. And Lynch scoffed at it, saying, who's consensus? And it's like, hey, dipshit. There's no who's consensus. This is an aggregation of everyone's opinion on this guy's a second rounder, this guy's a third, this guy's a fourth. It's averaged out. Do you know what consensus mean? It's not one person's consensus. It is a big pot of everyone's general opinion. And he defaulted to, well, the consensus in our building was dot, dot, dot. They end up taking Kalen Black, the running back from Indiana, who is not projected as a good NFL running back. He just isn't.
Right.
And he was supposed to go almost 60 spots lower. It was a 60-spot reach. And apparently Lynch has had a number of these reaches the last several years that have totally not panned out. And he traded for Trey Lance, which was a completely dipshit move.
If he doesn't get the Brock Purdy lottery ticket, he might not have a job now.
If he doesn't get the Brock Purdy lottery ticket, and if he didn't have Kyle, and Kyle is fucking great NFL coach.
Man,
period. End of story. But back to Snead and the Rams. One quick thing. Did you see the phone call Ty Simpson made with McVay?
No.
Oh, it's so cringe. He's all excited. He's out of breath. Coach, great to meet you. And what do all the young men drafted say to the coach? Can't wait to get to work.
Yeah.
You know, can't wait to get to work, coach.
Yeah, they
all say that, right?
Yeah.
Ty Simpson says, as he's gushing to McVay, who is clearly not into it, coach, can't wait to get to work. Let's make history.
Oh, God.
And McVay says, look, enjoy the night, and I'm very proud and happy for you, okay? We'll see you here soon. He couldn't get off the phone fast enough. But I'm thinking to myself, let's make history. What the fuck are you talking about? Let's make history.
Here's another Ty Simpson equation. Look at the quarterbacks who've had 15 college starts. Ooh, it's a brutal list.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, well, Dwayne Haskins a tragedy.
Yeah.
But
if you don't have a body of work, it's you're really.
Bill Parcells used to say 23 starts. You got to have that or I'm
in
not.
In college.
Looking at you. 23 starts. Not 23 games where you were a backup part of that.
Right.
Look, you know, who's the quarterback who was at USC who just got arrested with that crazy thing? Mark Sanchez.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete Carroll saying, don't come out, you're not ready. He got to two AFC championships with the Jets, but that was a defense Jets team.
Somebody said about Deshaun Kizer, don't come out, you're not ready. It might have been Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
Could have been.
And Deshaun Kizer was taking the second round. I went through this last week on the pod. Second round quarterbacks is an absolute death zone. Mm-hmm. If you take a guy in the second round, it's almost sure he's going to be a bust because he wasn't good enough to go in the first, and you're reaching in the second round. You should probably take somebody else. The Cardinals then take Carson Beck in the third round, first pick of the third round. I think he's 25 now because he's been in college for like 8 years.
Right.
He has been a disappointment both at Georgia and up until the very end, a disappointment at Miami. There is no way he's a good quarterback in the NFL. I will bet my life savings on that.
Not only that, he's supposedly a loner, so not much of a leader.
Yeah, and he's dating a porn star, Abdella Danger, which I'm sure you're familiar with their work.
And also, this would trouble me a little bit. He had his Lamborghini stolen from his house. And
it's Miami, bro. It's Miami Vice City.
And I understand, you know, whatever he got paid to go to Miami from Georgia, but you had to have a Lamborghini? You have to have one? You can't wait till you get to the pros? You have to have that? In college?
I mean, Andy, this is the state of affairs.
I know, but when
thank God they're not slaves anymore, right?
Okay, but when they get this all under control, when they have contracts and there is some sense that is restored here, this to me will always be the symbol of this period of time. Shador Sanders getting his car booted on campus at Colorado, which happens all the time to college athletes, except in this case, the car was a Rolls Royce.
A Rolls Royce.
A Rolls Royce. Yeah. booted on campus for too many parking tickets.
Yeah, I did. The draft was kind of boring, to be honest, and I did miss the Shador hype from last year. That was great theater last year. Mel Kiper losing his shit over that. Shout out to Mel, 43rd draft in a row.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. He is the draft as far as I'm concerned.
And yet at one point, they were trying to push him out, weren't they?
Well, here's what I was told about this. This was the Mark Shapiro era at ESPN. And Mark Shapiro just, I don't know, he started out as Rome's producer. His star turn at ESPN was the Sports Century series, where they did the 50 greatest athletes of the 20th century. Yeah. Brilliant series.
Yeah.
And that moved him up the chain, and he eventually became the head honcho at ESPN. And apparently just isn't that huge of a sports fan and didn't quite understand the impact that Mel had.
Did he think Mel was like a relic?
It was like, okay, we can do a draft without Mel. And certain veteran people who I know at ESPN and won't name here reached out to Mark Shapiro and basically said,
knock it off.
Like, what are you doing here?
Right.
And so they
well,
gave
good.
Yeah, they gave Mel a contract.
Even though Mel stood on the table for Jimmy Clausen.
Well, said
I'd quit if he's not a good pro. Yeah.
And when asked about that, he said, because I know Mel, he's an honest guy. He said, I tried to quit and they didn't want me to quit.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I don't believe
that is the biggest pile of bullshit. Well, and I like Mel as well as you do, but come on, man.
Okay.
He didn't say that. And then the other quarterback thing that was interesting was Diego Pavia went from being on stage at the Heisman Award ceremony, did not win, immediately showed his ass by saying, fuck the Heisman and social media, being an ungracious loser, didn't get drafted, didn't get signed as an UDFA, has now accepted an invite to the Ravens rookie minicamp. I guess being short, disagreeable, and an asshole is not good for your draft stock.
Well, I think the last two that you mentioned are much worse than the first, because
you don't think the short killed him? It was more the attitude?
Yeah. I mean, the short didn't help him.
Right.
But we've had, look, if Doug Flutie came along today instead of 40 years ago when he came out of Boston College, he would have had a great NFL career. I don't know if he would have been Hall of Fame. But if you listen to Drew Brees, who backed him up when Brees came from Purdue as I think he was the first pick of the second round,
right?
And Flutie was the starting quarterback, he says, well, basically owe my career to him.
Wow.
He showed me how to do this.
Wow.
And Flutie dominated in Canada.
No, Flutie, I think, is probably pound for pound, inch for inch, the best pure athlete in the last 50 years. Like, he got more out of his tiny body athletically than anybody.
Well, Gary Williams, he may have told you this as well. When Gary Williams went to Boston College, Flutie was a senior, hadn't played basketball since high school, and Gary said they had an agreement that when the college football season ended, he was going to play on the Boston College basketball team and would have been his sixth man. That's how good he was. And he said the reason he didn't play was that Donald Trump signed him to a personal services contract with the Generals in the USFL, and he wasn't allowed to play basketball. But he said they scrimmaged with him, and he more than held his own against the scholarship players there.
Yeah. I think Pavia would have been drafted for sure somewhere in the middle rounds if Johnny Manziel didn't happen. Johnny Manziel finally showed these dumbass owners, guys who tell you who they are in college, meaning cocky, short little assholes, are exactly who they are, and you should stay clear of them.
Well,
I think Johnny Manziel ruined any chance of Pavia getting drafted.
I think the Johnny Manziel stuff was more related to I like to stay out in the clubs and so forth. I don't think Pavia was like that. I think Manziel had the talent to play in the NFL. He just, you know,
he's a dick and a cokehead.
Yeah, wasn't
attitude wise.
And I don't think Pavia is that, but his attitude, because I'm sure they talked to him. I'm sure they some teams considered taking. Look, here's what I've.
But okay, hold on. Nobody took Pavia, even though they were taking tight ends in the seventh round who had not caught a pass in their entire college career. The Commanders took this Greek quarterback from Rutgers, whose name I've forgotten already, Ethan Kalikanakis or something like that. And the Eagles took a guy from Nigeria who's never played organized football, but looks like a fucking Adonis. 6'4", 305 pounds, 6% body fat, and 11-inch hands.
So
the draft has shrunk in the last...
Well, what they said was the NIL killed the late rounds.
I know, and even still, nobody took Pavia.
Right.
Which I'm telling you is because these owners realized assholes are assholes. Stay away from
them. I just don't think you can necessarily equate the Manziel problems to him.
I'm not equating. I'm saying Manziel was the crash and burn that shone the light on. If another guy that looks like Manziel comes along, stay away.
But the field.
And Pavia looked exactly like Manziel.
But there's no evidence that I know of that Pavia is, you know, staying out in the club till 3 in the morning every day.
I know, but whatever. I mean, look, he was a college Johnny runaround guy. And in the NFL, you can't be a Johnny runaround guy. You have to read, throw accurately, and lead a team and be responsible.
Yeah, I wish they would have given him another year of eligibility because I loved watching him play.
No, he was fun.
He was fun.
Yeah. Well, my Manziel was fun in college, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't make him a pro.
Right.
Last ad on the draft. Does Jeremy, your son, who loves Indiana, went to Indiana, does he fear what could happen to Mendoza with the Raiders, a noted sinkhole of careers?
No, I haven't really plumbed that with him.
Is he excited about? Is he going to be a part-time Raider fan?
I don't think so. I think he's more invested in the Indiana product, and let's see. They brought in another transfer quarterback. Let's see what happens with him. Look, they because how many players did they have drafted? Not that many, right? Indiana.
Yeah.
So he's got some kind of a really good college program. He's got a handle on the modern college game.
I just wonder if Jeremy is like super nervous that, in fact, Jeremy, when you listen to this episode, shoot me a text and say if you think your boy's going to be okay with the Raiders. I hope he is. I liken him to super. I call him Super Kirk because he's bigger, rangier, a little stronger, better arm than Kirk. But every bit, the Bible thumping, smiling, super polite, extra diligent guy. And I want guys like that to succeed.
The mental part of playing quarterback is almost as important as the physical part.
Agreed.
And what I've heard is he is... Like, first of all, he was like a 4.2 in GPA in high school.
No, he's super smart.
He went to Cal, to play football, but his intention, if football didn't work out, was to get a job on Wall Street and make millions. And so now he's going to play football and make millions. And when this is a story he told on one of these shows leading up to the draft. When he was at Cal, somebody said, "You kind of remind me of Kirk Cousins." He got all the throws that Kirk Cousins made in one season with Minnesota and watched them. This is when he was still a Cal.
Wow.
So, you know.
He's modeled his game after Kirk, and Kirk is now there as his mentor.
Yeah.
His sensei, if you will.
If he has a Kirk career, did the Raiders make a mistake in drafting him number one overall?
I don't think so, but I'm a noted Kirk jerk. I am a Kirk Cousins fan, and I think that any team, and the Vikings never had a whole team around Kirk completely. Their defense was bad or their O-line was terrible. But people want quarterbacks to be superheroes and to be Mahomes or Brady and just win no matter what. Didn't quite line up for Kirk. So if he has a Kirk-like career, he'll have a good career.
He's 6'4", 6'5", right?
Yeah, big
he's
kid.
Thick, you know? I mean,
big kid. Drinks his milk, studies hard, goes to bed at 10. What's not to like?
Yeah.
All right. We have no time for the NBA. We're watching right now the Sunday night game. Celtics are up big right now on the Sixers. Embiid is playing in this game, even though it was kind of 50-50 he would. The injury toll in the playoffs so far is absolute carnage. Yeah. Ant-Man is the latest that everyone's holding their breath on in Minnesota with a hyperextended knee. DiVincenzo tore his Achilles. Fun fact, he wears number 0. In the last 2 years, 4 guys have blown out their Achilles in the playoffs. They all wore number 0.
The new SI cover jinx.
Did you not see that stat?
No, you just gave it to me. That's interesting.
Dame Lillard, 0.
Right.
Achilles. Jason Tatum, 0. Achilles. Mm. And then the fourth one was Tyrese Halliburton, 0.
Been
4-0s have blown out their Achilles in 2 years in the playoffs. That's fucking freaky right there. Wembanyama had a scary fall and concussion. Was he playing today? I missed the game.
Yeah, he played. He played well, too.
Okay, yep. Durant is, what did Durant play today? Oh, no, that's tonight. We'll see if he plays tonight. He's been in and out.
It's 3-0. I don't know how they come. Nobody comes back from 3-0.
But he, you know, he missed game one because he had a knee injury, suffered in a practice, they said.
Right.
And then he sprained his ankle badly in the game he did play, so who knows. Meanwhile, LeBron is throwing alley-oops to his son, who's still make-a-wishing it. But you know what? God bless him for being in the NBA. No, seriously. Bronny is so not an NBA player.
No.
But I do say, good for you, LeBron. You're throwing alley-oops to your son in the playoffs.
Yeah. If you had a chance to sign a son to play basketball.
Of course I would.
Yeah, okay.
1,000%. Yeah. It's not hurting the Lakers. Do you know how big these rosters are now anyway?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So it's not, you're not going to hurt to give them a few minutes as long as they're low-leverage minutes. Also, LeBron made a hell of a play, knocking the ball out of Reed Shepard's arms and then hitting a three to tie the game. After the Rockets did the impossible, they lost a 6-point lead with under 30 seconds to go with ball in hand.
I know. That's unbelievable. That's crazy. That's that. I think that's a record, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. No, teams that were up six under 30 seconds to go had been 1,718-1. That's a real stat.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. It's because you should make those up.
1,718-1. Winning games, they're now that and two because of the Rockets. And then Jokic doth protest too much by the late layup in their game. Jaden McDaniels for the Timberwolves with a layup. And then Jokic all of a sudden found out he can run, which he doesn't do in the games anymore because he's such a big oaf. Starts a big old melee.
Yeah, well, he's actually down in weight from early in his career. He was probably
he's a lumbering still. Yeah. He's a great player, but Gobert has been in his shit all series.
Yeah.
It's been a fun playoff so far, but what I fear is happening is the Wolves will get through up 3-1 without Ant-Man for the rest of the way, so they're crippled, and that'll just make it easier for the Thunder to come out of the West.
Yeah,
now it does help that at least the Spurs, who can give the Thunder, I think, a real shot, a run for their money, they got Wembanyama back. So there's that.
You know, I like dynasties. So it wouldn't bother me if Oklahoma City repeated.
Yeah, but how can you stand watching SGA get 23 free throws a game? Well, he is such a foul merchant. It's obscene.
That's part of the game, you know, getting to the line. This is the problem I used to have with Chris Webber. Chris Webber was not a good free throw shooter. Had to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And rather than drive and get fouled and win the game or tie the game at the line,
he would consciously pull up because he knew he was not a good free throw shooter.
And wasn't a great outside shooter either. So I like guys who get to the line. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's an asset.
All right. Can I sleep over tonight, Andy?
Yes, I have room for you. I have a full room downstairs with a shower and everything.
This would be great. We can play games, sleep over. Yeah. So much room for activities, as the line goes in Step Brothers.
Yeah. You know, I got footy pajamas I can loan you. You know, we can.
I love this new Zoom P4 Next recorder. It's got four channels, XLR inputs. I'm using these Moana microphones that I got off of TikTok. They're pretty good microphones.
You bought these off of TikTok?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that. You can chop on TikTok?
Andy, that's why the whole platform exists.
I thought it was just to watch videos.
Oh, no. There are TikTok influencers making $1 million a year easy, just selling shit to people like me. There's a guy, Rad Dad, and he's got this great voice. He looks like a cool dad. He's about 40 years old, skinny, looks like a skate punk, but he's got this incredible voice. And so when he tests these microphones, it sounds great. He's like, hey, man, you need these mics right here.
So let me ask you a really old man question.
Yeah.
When you order something from him on TikTok,
he gets a commission.
But when you give your, I assume, credit card information,
yeah.
Are you not concerned that it's...
That China has it?
Or whoever, you know, or that you won't get these microphones, and then you'll look at your credit card statement and go, oh, what happened there?
Well, I will say they're a little bit more cumbersome than Amazon because Amazon has very easy returns and very liberal returns. And let me tell you, Andy, I take full advantage of it, I know. The king of returns. TikTok is a little bit more clunky, but I've had good success so far.
Okay.
But yeah, that when you say, do they sell things on TikTok? Oh, yeah. That's the point of the whole thing.
But I
the TikTok shop.
I just would be, you know, worried about giving, well, here's my credit card number and my security code and my expiration date, and I'll expect those microphones in the mail in 2 days.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this was great. Thanks for the Chinese food dinner from your local, very affordable, cheap Chinese food. They're not trying to be PF Chang's.
How do you know they were affordable? I paid for it.
What did it cost for my my General Tso's chicken?
It was very reasonable. It's a lot less than
$14.95.
I think it was less than that.
Less than that. Good. Yeah, yeah. And this is a Sunday tradition here at Andy's house. Sunday Chinese, usually Tiger Woods in 60 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
I got here too late for 60 minutes and Tiger's not playing.
Not playing late. And back in the day, you'd have the NBA finals that would be wrapping up about 6-7 o'clock. So you could watch 60 minutes and be done with sports for today. Doesn't work that way anymore.
Well, good. Well, I do love live and in-person podcasts. I think it's livelier. It's more natural.
Yeah.
And I hope you, the listeners, enjoyed today's podcast. All right, Andy, I'm going to wrap it up. I got an hour and 15-minute drive home. I should make it back before sundown, or before sun up, I should say, the next morning.
Look, nobody put a gun to your head and said, move out to Timbuktu.
No. But you know what? And nobody said it to come out here on a Sunday, but I said, fuck it. It's a cloudy day. I'm not playing golf. Let's go see Andy.
I'm here.
And I did.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.